Hello, welcome to Locked on Sharks, the premier hockey podcast of your favorite team in the Bay Area. And we finish up Mike Greer week by looking at back at Mike Greer's first draft class and see how they do. We're going to also look back at the big trade moving back from 11 to 27 and kind of just see what could have been for the Sharks if they had stayed and picked Connor Geeky. So all that and more on today's episode of Locked on Sharks.
You're Locked on Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, J.D. Young, contributor at San Jose Hockey Now, and I want to thank you for making Locked on Sharks your first listen. We are part of the Locked on Network, where we cover your team every day. And of course, you can follow or subscribe wherever you get podcasts and watch this bad boy on YouTube as well. I'm going to continue with the slides. People seem to like the slides. So again, I'm doing the research. Might as well make it look pretty. So we're finishing up Mike Greer week. So Monday, we went back. We looked at all of Mike Greer's first free agent class. Tuesday, double dipped episode with Mike Greer's trades. Looking back at the Brent Burns, looking back at the Timo Meier, looking back at every trade for a roster personnel. Today, we're going to be digging into his three big trades. Draft day trade, Timo trade, Brent Burns. We're going to be talking about the draft day trade today and look at the rest of his draft class. We also did talk about Mike Greer's first hire, David Quinn, yesterday, and how the Sharks got better in a lot of areas but got worse in one major area, goaltending. So if you missed any of those episodes, you can go check them out. Also, Patrick Bexell was on this week to discuss, do another draft profile of Otto Stenberg. So busy, busy week here at Locked on Sharks as we celebrate episode 800 for me. That's a lot of episodes. So we're going to go back. Let's start with the big trade, which I think kind of really set what we, you know, kind of the expectations for the Sharks this year was, you know, there was a lot of talk of with the Sharks, what they're going to do with 11, you know, some of the players that they were definitely interested in who were both taken already was one Kurchinski, who was taken by the Chicago Blackhawks. And then, of course, the other one was Matt Savoy, who was taken by the Sabres at number 9. And those were the two reported players that the Sharks had really, really wanted at 11. Neither one of them was available. So the Sharks decided to move back. If you need a quick reminder of what the Sharks got for trading with the Arizona Coyotes, they did really, really well in this trade. So they traded back traded the 11th pick. They traded back to number 27, which was the 2022 first round, 2022 second round pick, which was number 34, and then the 2022 second round pick, which was 45. So they turned one pick into three picks all within about 20 spots of each other. So we're about almost a year out. How do these players look right now? So let's go ahead and start. We're going to start with Connor Geeky, who was the pick at number 11 by the Arizona Coyotes. So had a solid season in 66 games, had 35 goals, 42 assists, 176 shots on goal. Playing on a super, super stacked team in Winnipeg with the Winnipeg Ice, who are continuing to play right in the playoffs right now. I think they're going to be playing who are they playing? I forget. I think actually they're playing Saskatoon, who reverse swept whoever they were playing. So good for Saskatoon. But Winnipeg Ice are an absolute monster of a team. Just a reminder of players who are on there. One, Mason Beaupet, who we'll talk about in a little bit. Some of their other noted players, Matt Savoy, who we've just mentioned, Zach Benson, who's probably going to be a, you know, top 10, top five pick in this upcoming draft. You know, they also have Carson Lambos. Like, they have a ton of premier talent on this team. It is a ridiculous team. They had six players had 70 points or more this last season. So, absolutely ridiculous team. So, Connor Geeky, though, he had 77 points in 66 games, which is solid, you know, but not like a huge jump from what he did last year. And last year in 63 games, he had 70 points. So, solid, you know, a 7-point increase in basically three more games. And the majority of the more goals this year compared to Sid, you know, he had a better goal to assist ratio this year, but didn't really kind of make a big jump in that. It's a little bit hard to do, especially when you have such a talented, loaded roster where sometimes you're not the kind of premier player. So Geeky, if you want to, you know, Byron Bader. So Byron Bader's model, it's a very, very performance-based, you know, so it really kind of leans into points and how you're producing. Geeky right now is a 56% NHL player, which is you play more than 200 games, and 12% star player, which is basically a career at 0.7 career points per game as a forward, as a quick reminder. So, you know, some of his comps as a draft were like Jordan Ellerby, Patrice Bergeron, you know, and now we're kind of seeing guys like Tyler Johnson. So maybe the shine might have come off a little bit either from him as well. But so we'll start with Geeky and then kind of compare what Philip Bystedt, who the Sharks end up taking first. Many people, myself included, were a little puzzled by this pick, but that is why I am sitting here at home making videos that you guys listen to instead of working in a front office, because Bystedt had a really, really good season. It's tough to compare numbers, especially, again, remember, Connor Geeky's played against 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. Philip Bystedt is playing against grown men in the SHL. So as a 18-year-old. So Bystedt, who was the 2022 first-round pick, played for Linköping this season in the SHL, had 45 games. There are 7 goals, 13 assists, 82 shots on goal. Played mostly the third line for Linköping, which wasn't a very good team. If you listen to my conversation with now, Patrick, he talked about Bystedt this year ahead, you know, just wasn't a good team. And it was kind of, you know, that team definitely struggled. But by the end of the season, he was playing first line minutes for this team. I know they were kind of out of it, kind of, you know, above the regular or relegation line. But, you know, Bystedt did play first line minutes for them. And we really saw Bystedt take off in the World Juniors this year. And, you know, I think for him playing against people his own age instead of grown men that he's been playing against in the SHL. And you really kind of saw him produce there. So, you know, at the where's his numbers here? So he scored at the World Juniors. He had in 7 games, he had 4 goals, 6 assists for 10 points in the World Juniors for Team Sweden this year. Had a massive, massive goal to bring that game into overtime. And then, unfortunately, Sweden lost it in the playoffs there or in the medal tournament. But you really, really saw him kind of starting to kind of figure things out type of there. So Byron Bader, he still has, again, very, very – Matthias Havlid, little sneak peek for but very, very, you know, numbers, 42% to be after this season an NHL player, 8% star probability. I still like Bystedt. I think Bisa really, really grew on me this season watching him play in a very, very tough competitive league in the SHL. Again, like the SHL is arguably the third best hockey league in the world. I would, you know, you have NHL, KHL, and then you can debate if you want to say AHL or SHL, but it is your pick right there. The worst case is they're probably the fourth best hockey league, and he is playing against grown men and producing on a, you know, bad team over there. So Bisa is just kind of scratching the surface here. And I think Connor Geeky seems like a great player, but you have to be really excited with what I know. The numbers aren't as impressive. The raw numbers aren't as impressive, but again, playing against the competition, he's going to be ready to, it's going to be easier for him to jump into the NHL when he does, because guess what? He will have been playing against grown men for several years by then. So before we continue, do need to take a quick break. Talk to you guys about our friends over at eBay Motors. For a championship team, it's all about making sure every player is a perfect fit. It's the same when it comes to your vehicle. Every part needs to fit just right. So the next time you need parts and accessories, head to eBay Motors. With eBay Fit Guarantee, you can be sure that every part you need fits right the first time around. Just add your ride to the My Garage and look for the green check to make sure that the part will fit, or your money back. Because just like in sports, confidence is the name of the game. And when you shop at eBay Motors with over 122 million parts to choose from, you'll be back in the game in no time. After all, it's easy to bring home a win when the right parts are guaranteed. So get the right parts, the right fit, and the right prices on ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. eBay Guarantee Fit, only available to U.S. customers. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, so Geeky for Bisa, and there has been some scouts who've said, you know, Bisa so far has had a better season than Connor Geeky. Again, I know the raw numbers are definitely in favor of Connor Geeky, but he's also the competition, right? You're on a super stacked team playing against teenagers. He's producing, he's doing what he's asked, but you have to be impressed with what Bisa is doing against, you know, professional hockey players in one of the best leagues in the entire world. So, let's continue with another piece that the Sharks got back, right? So the first of their second round picks, they selected Cam Lunn, who played this season as a freshman in Northeastern, was in the NCAA. 35 games, had 7 goals, 16 assists, 88 shots on goal. Was kind of playing mostly second line minutes for Northeastern. Did have a hat trick in there, so kind of the goals weren't as spread out as you would like. You know, not that consistent goal scorer, but did have a hat trick, which you'll definitely take. I think the third goal was a game winner, very, very like deep into the third, if I recall correctly. But Lund, though, you could really see watching some of his games, kind of the transition and his ability to get the puck into the offensive zone and start creating offense there. And again, they had Levi, who ended up signing with Buffalo after the season was over. So we'll see what happens. A lot of players with Northeastern did go into the transfer portal. So we'll kind of see where that leaves Cam Lund. But he should have a good opportunity going into his sophomore season to really kind of take a big leap offensively. Again, like I said, you see his transition ability, his ability to kind of create offense and start the offense. And I'm sure the actual goal production will start to come here once, you know, second year, a little bit more familiarity playing college hockey. So his stats. So Lund, 38% chance. So you see his chance to actually become an NHLer increase, 5% chance to become a star producer. So I really like Lund. You really saw him flash last year in the rookie tournament in the 3-on-3 selection. You know, that's him in open ice is absolutely deadly. That shot, like I said, I think once he continues to kind of grow and mature, that shot, you sell the shot. I think it'll come and you're going to see more and more of that actual gold production coming from him here starting next season. So Northeastern, though, is going to be interesting with a lot of moving pieces of players kind of leaving there. And Cameron Lund might be jumping into a top kind of role with them, you know, a top line role with Northeastern really, really quickly here, depending on the players who have left. So the third and final piece, Matias Havlid. So 2022 second round pick, played with Lego Ping with Philip Biested. 25 games, 4 goals, 2 assists, and 32 shots on goal. Did miss like kind of about the first half of the season to up until right around Christmas time with a back injury, but played really, really well at the end of the season. The 4 goals, you know, you definitely see that shot of his, if you've seen any of his highlights. God, that shot has some eyes on it. So, Havlid, I don't, you know, expect kind of a slow development with him, especially as a defenseman, but good to see that he had a really strong second half for this season, coming back from a back injury. So, I like his offensive production. I like his skating. I think Havlid is going to be a Shark in a couple years, but I think the Sharks really, really found something in Havlid. So, his numbers, again, missing the first half of the season, I think really, really kind of puts him in the numbers aren't going to be favorable to him, but 33% chance to be an NHL player, 3% chance as a star. Remember, defensively, it's 0.45 career points per game to be considered a star producer on the blue line. But, you know, kind of reviewing, right, would you rather have Connor Geeky? Would you rather have Biested, Cameron Lund, and Matias Havlid? And I'm going to go with those three. I think all three of those guys have a really good chance to become NHL players. It's not going to happen right away. I think Biested will be the first to be in the NHL out of those three, just because we know size, you can't teach size, all that fun stuff. Defensemen usually take the longest, and Lund's going to be stuck in college for about 3 years. So we'll see after his junior season what the Sharks want to do. But unless Lund has an absolute monster breakout season, I expect him to be there at least 3 seasons, and then you can maybe get him to leave a year early if you really, really want him to. But though, I think all these guys have really, really high, really, really good upside and really, really good floors as well. Like I said, I expect all these guys to be playing in the NHL at some point for the Sharks. And Connor Geeky might be a really great player, but I was, if you remember going back into before last year's draft, Connor Geeky was not my favorite guy. And I'm happy with the 3 guys the Sharks have compared to Connor Geeky. So anyway, before we continue, look at the rest of the draft picks. So we spent a lot of time on these 2 guys. We'll kind of go through a little bit quicker with some of the other guys. Do want to take a quick break. Let you guys know, thank you guys for making Locked On Sharks your first listen every day. Every day, we'll be back next week. We'll have more draft profiles lined up, and we'll have another theme. I'm still working out the kinks for what we're going to do for next week. But just remember, you guys can follow in Locked On Sharks every day, part of the Locked On Network. All right. Let's jump back in with Michael Fisher, the defenseman the Sharks picked in the 3rd round. Missed a majority of the season with a knee injury this year. Only played 14 games, no points during that time. Did have 15 shots on goal, which is kind of nice to see. Very big, toolsy guy who's going to slow development with him. You see the offensive prowess, but this year was basically lost with a knee injury. So good to see him come back at the end of the season. So he should be in college next year. If I remember, it's Northeastern or one of those colleges up there in the Northeast somewhere. So 30% NHL probability, 3% star probability. Again, lost season this year with the injury. So we shall hopefully next year in college, much, much better season for him. So Mason Beaupet, the 2022 fourth round pick from played for Winnipeg, got traded midway through the season. Originally with Spokane, played 31 games, 875 save percentage, 415 goals against average, 761 saves. The numbers for Spokane versus the numbers versus Winnipeg, night and day, was just brutal, brutal numbers with Spokane. I think he went 0 for 8 or 0 for 9 and was goals against average right around 5, some ridiculous, like over 5 if I remember correctly. So tough year for Bo Pitt. But, you know, playing in front of a better team, we don't, again, with the goalies, right, it takes a long time. And save percentages in juniors are going to be much, much lower than what you see in other leagues. So unless your team's really, really good. 36th percentile to become an NHL goalie right now. We'll see next year, especially if he kind of maybe has a job to himself. I don't think Winnipeg's going to lose some talent, but they'll still be really, really good next year as well. So a little tough to kind of gauge with Bo Pitt right now. Jake Furlong, 2022 fifth round pick, plays for Halifax. 67 games, 7 goals, 43 assists, 153 shots on goal for Jake Furlong in the Q. Reminder, Q defense is hit or miss to begin with. I missed up this thing. But, you know, I think with Furlong, you're going to see some points because of Halifax is a monster type of team. But for him, I think it's going to be learning the defensive side of the game still. So they're still playing in the QMJHL playoffs right now. I think they're in the third or round or whatever. So they are still alive. We'll probably do a check-in here pretty soon on those guys. So see how they're continuing their season. So Joey Maldoni, 2022 sixth round pick, played with Des Moines in the USHL. 61 games, 15 goals, 14 assists, 123 shots on goal this season. I believe he's going to Northeastern next season, so we're Northwestern again, one of those dog teams up in the north. Oh, there's the Furlong. So Furlong, really quick, 40% NHL probability, 5% star probability. Maldoni, 9% NHL probability, 1% star probability as well. You know, a lot of these guys here, remember, kind of shots. You're taking a shot on some of these guys, hoping they kind of turn out for you. So Eli Barnett, the 2022 seventh round pick for Victoria. Played for the Victoria Grizzlies in the BCHL. 52 games, 4 goals, 5 assists. You're not drafting Eli Barnett for the offense. He's big. He plays defense. So 3% NHL probability, 0% star. I think he's going to University of Vermont next season. So going to be playing college hockey next year as well. So, and then finally, Reese LeBach, who 2027 seventh round pick, he was traded as well this season. He ended his season with Omaha in the USHL. Played 50 games, had 11 goals, 13 assists, 96 points during that time. The hometown San Jose kid, 13% NHL probability, 1% star probability. So where is Reese playing next year? I forget where he's playing. I'm pulling it up right now. You know, you really saw him find his groove once he got traded to Omaha. He's playing with Minnesota State University. So, yeah, after starting the season with Youngstown, got traded, and you really, really – he had 4 points in 17 games with Youngstown, 20 points in 33 games with Omaha. So really, really found his groove once he got traded. So, and we'll be spending next year with Minnesota State. Again, local kids from San Jose. So – you know, kind of everyone's rooting for him as well. So yeah, that is Mike Greer's first draft. Some of these guys are, you know, definitely the long projects. A lot of these guys going to college. We know Mike Greer. The thing we learned the most from Mike Greer's first draft. He loves Swedes and he loves college kids because they're either in college, majority of them are either going to be in college next year or they're going to be playing in Sweden. Mason Bo Pitt, I think, is the only player who was who's going to be playing anywhere else, basically. So You know, I think looking back, none of these guys feel home run-ish. You know, you're not looking back like going, oh yeah, this guy I could see being a star. But I feel like the Sharks have a lot of really solid players added to their pipeline. I think you have to feel really good about those top three picks. We'll see what Michael Fisher, if he can get his, you know, next season on track after the injury. This season, you know, first year in college, we'll see with him. Again, really, really toolsy defensive player, or D-man, love to, you know, get active and score a bunch of goals off the rush. But, you know, again, be said, he feels like an NHL player just watching his games as he continues to kind of grow into his frame. Havled looks really smooth out there, you know, and Cam Lund, like I said, that transition game reminds me a lot of Barabanov, where it's just like, boom, I'm going to, you know, kind of go and find the open guy. I'm not saying Cam Lund's going to be Barabanov, but it just kind of reminded me of that, his ability to carry the puck into the zone and then find a guy type of thing. So I think Lund might have a little bit better of a shot projecting, which we've seen, but if you get Barabanov with a little bit better shot, sign me up for that. So, yep, that's going to be it for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed Mike Greer week. We'll be back next week. Kind of, you know, play some Star Wars and think about what we're going to talk about next week. So as we continue to get closer to the draft, I know we'll do the week of, so next week is the first week of May. The following week is draft lottery. So we'll probably dedicate that week to the draft, especially talking about the draft lottery, where the Sharks are going to end up picking, start looking at some trade up, trade down scenarios. So we're going to kind of spend that week probably talking about the draft. We got free agency coming. There's plenty of stuff. So make sure you guys are following along, subscribe, follow wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, you can watch on YouTube as well. We cover your team every day. Follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Locked On Sharks. You can follow me on Twitter at my fry hole. And until Monday, bye, friends.